Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house. As we're privileged to lift up worship and praise to God this morning, we would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbor. We do want to remind elders, deacons, and committee chair people that we are having our October board meeting today, immediately after the 11 o'clock service in the upper room classroom. We do need a quorum of 15 in order to conduct the business of voting on the 24 budget and the 24 to 26 nominations for elders, deacons, and junior deacons. Halloween party for our children will be next Sunday afternoon at 1:30 here in the Fellowship Hall. More about that in the bulletin announcement page. And Chris Martinson is offering personal portrait Christmas ornament cutouts. Information about that is also there in your bulletin. And in the bulletin as well, the reservation for poinsettias, sign up sheet there if you would fill that out. And with your check, put that in the offering plate during the service, or if you would like to catch up with Carol in the church office, as we are now making reservations for poinsettias that we'll share during the Advent season and for you to take home after the Christmas Eve services. Your bulletin announcement page also lifts up the information about the next year's giving envelopes, upcoming committee meetings, and also, of course, items needed for the food pantry, for which we are grateful for your assistance. I think that's all we need to lift up, and so Ryan will lead us in our call to worship, please.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above.
Praise him, all his angels, all his heavenly armies.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars.
Praise him, highest heavens and waters above the sky.
Let them all praise the name of the Lord. We'll now sing hymn number 17, stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of O Worship the King.
O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing God's wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor and girded.
Pray. Merciful and loving God, we are gathered here in your house and grateful for the privilege to offer you worship and praise this Lord's Day morning. May we seek your Spirit's guidance through prayer, the study of your word, and by the blessing of your Holy Spirit. For Psalm 145, verse 18 tells us that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call upon him in truth. For it's in Christ's name that we give thanks as we worship you this day. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me. By the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Well, good morning, friends. How are you guys? Are we good? Today, I want to talk about stewardship. That's a pretty big word, isn't it? Stewardship. Do you have any idea what that word might mean? Nah, that's okay, because some adults don't really know what it means either. Just saying. Stewardship means that to take careful and responsible care of something. Something that we've been trusted to care for. And in the Bible, lots and lots and lots of times, it talks about careful stewardship. Doesn't really call it that in the Bible, but that's what it is. See, God says that if you take good care of the things I give you, and you use them wisely, I will give you more. Did you know that? Yeah. God trusts us to care for things. God trusts that we will use our money wisely. We will use it not only wisely for ourselves, but we'll share that with other people, people who need it. And that's what stewardship is all about. Being wise caregivers of the things that we are entrusted with. Like if you have a pet. If you have a pet, you have to take care of your pet, don't you? Yeah, you have to make sure your pet gets fed and watered and goes outside to go potty and all that stuff, huh? You think that's funny? But that's just one of the ways that we take care of the things that God puts us in charge of. We take care of responsibly, sharing and giving and caring. He will give us more to take care of and share and give. The more we have, the more we can give. Yeah. Pretty awesome, huh? Uh-huh. I thought so too. Shall we have a little prayer? Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this absolutely gorgeous day. Thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day of our lives. Help us all to be good stewards of the many things that you give us that we can share with those around us. Help us learn always to take care of everyone in our lives and the things around us. We ask that your will be done in all things, Lord, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's go.
Thank you, Kathy. A word of celebration for Alyssa Sawyer and her fiance Chad as they gave birth to a son, Jackson Keller, born yesterday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, about 7 pounds, 20 inches in length, born at the St. Luke's Hospital here on Berry Road, just to the west of us. We also lift up Alyssa's other children, Chase and Sadie, and of course, Chad's mother, Christy, and Alyssa's mother, Melody, and grandmother, Luella Scott. So good news for their family. Let's keep them in prayer. All seems to be progressing well so far, and we're grateful for that. We want to lift up Edna Williams. She is dealing with a pressure wound that has gone down to the bone. This is the same kind of circumstance that Edna experienced about 5 years ago that prompted her to have to be in a reclined position for about 9 months. So this is a very serious matter that Edna has to deal with. And she is still working with the surgeons and medical community at KU Medical Center to understand what will be the next steps. So keep her in prayer. We also keep in prayer Jerry and Betty Donahue. Betty will be undergoing surgery on the 15th of November to remove precancerous tissue in ways that we hope will certainly lead toward a good recovery for her. I spoke with Susan Hanks yesterday, and she is continuing to make good and steady progress with her recovery from the neck surgery, and we are delighted that that's progressing well for her as she still deals with the back concerns. I happened to ask Susan as we were visiting, I said, well, Susan, you know the ramp that you've got outside your house here, you know, are you still renting that or what's happening? And she said, I'm still renting it because I want to see the day when it can be removed. You know, so keep her in prayer. Her determination is significant. We pray that she will continue to gain ability to walk. We also lift up Doug and Gail Gentry. Doug did have his appointment with the hematologist at the KU Medical Center. That visit went well and gave him a clear pathway with regard to the treatments for the blood clot concerns and also an affirmation that everything that had been done for him while they were on vacation in Hawaii was the right stuff to do. And I think that was very encouraging news for Doug and Gail. Ted, we're delighted you're back with us after we missed you the last couple Sundays. Hope you're feeling much better. Bless you. And Leonard and Vicki, it's a joy to see both of you this morning. Bless you. God bless you. Vicki, we keep you in prayer in the midst of your recovery, and we lift up your father, Jay Lee Magnum of Brendan, Mississippi, in the midst of his health concerns. And we also, Leonard, lift up your family with the loss of your uncle, Jimmy Hinton of Florence, Mississippi, and know that y'all be going back to Mississippi to attend the services. Bless you both and your families. We lift up Linda Stevens. Linda's been having concerns with back and knee issues, as we also lift up her son, Billy. I see Linda's not here today, so please remember her in prayer. Among family members, we do want to lift up Connie Stark's parents, Jan and Lou Embry. Lou experienced a fall on Thursday at their home near McPherson, and that resulted in a fractured femur, and surgery took place on Friday at the Salina Regional Health Center. So keep Connie's family in prayer as Lou makes his recovery. May we go before the Lord's presence in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to worship you in this house of worship, as we freely choose and without fear of reprisal. We pray that the songs we sing, the words we lift up in praise, and the meditations of our hearts will always be acceptable to your living presence. Every Sunday, we lift up to you the names of individuals and families near and dear to us, knowing that you care for them. Yet we also contemplate the immense concerns of millions across the world's landscape who have experienced injury, death, and loss of livelihoods, homes, neighborhoods, and even the threat of total annihilation through the ongoing wars in Ukraine, Israel and the Gaza Strip, Armenia, and other parts of the world. May your Holy Spirit offer up a great measure of comfort for those that indeed are in need of such great concerns and healing and renewal in the midst of them. Certainly, as indeed aid and comfort is underway. As such challenging conflicts and wars continue, many find themselves in despair. Yet we pray that your peace will one day prevail, even as we have the promise that Christ our Lord will one day claim victory over all evil powers as he descends from the heavens on a white horse of victory and presides over your great peace forevermore. Yet in the meantime, as we strive to find hope amidst life's great challenges, may we find great comfort in Paul's letter to the church in Rome. For Paul writes, "I am certain that nothing can separate us from God's love. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord." We rest in these assurances, O God, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The eagle-eyed among you may notice that the choir offering for special music and the communion hymn is the same song. That was not planned. So just consider this a performance. You're going to enjoy it. It's a soprano-alto feature, and this is practice for the communion hymn, and then you'll sing for us.
Is the throne.
This morning's communion hymn was originally published by William Dix in 1866 in a collection of poems about the Lord's Supper. The original title of the poem was Redemption by the Precious Blood, as the poem was inspired by Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, which says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood.'" And this title, of course, makes sense, as Dix proclaims in that first verse that was just sung by the choir. Alleluia, sing to Jesus, risen now to reign in love. Alleluia, praise the Savior with the multitude above. There the songs of saints and martyrs thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, has redeemed us by his blood. It's also noteworthy to remember that William Dix, a Scottish businessman whose avocations were languages and poetry, was a man of deep faith, who also gave us the familiar Christmas carol that inspires us each Advent season, titled, "What Child Is This?" We turn to our communion hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. We'll sing the first and third stanzas of hymn number 233. Remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, as we take of this bread and this cup, we are reminded of your grace and love. We are thankful and grateful for all you provide for us. Each day is a gift given to us by you. Lord, we ask for your blessing on these emblems and all who take of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The Apostle Paul offers prayer for the followers of Christ in the first chapter of Colossians, that God will, in verse 9, fill us with the knowledge of his will, with all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And then he goes on to say in verse 10 that we will be able to live as the Lord wants, and that our lives will produce all kinds of good deeds as we grow in our knowledge of God. Among such good deeds is, of course, the opportunity for us to use the resources that God has given us for the benefit of God's will here on earth and for the blessing of others. As 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 tells us, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. With these thoughts in mind, Mary leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here today on this beautiful fall day, we wish to give thanks for the gifts and the givers as we collect the tithes. We want to give these gifts back to you in honor of your glory, and help us to use them for you and others in need. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May we stand. God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We have made some adjustments on the soundboard with the public address system, so I'm going to go ahead and try to preach from the floor again this time, but I want to know whether or not you all think you can hear what I say a little better. We hope that it's a little bit more clarity than what we've had before. Scripture reading this morning, this is now our sixth message here in this afterlife series, and here we are talking about this event called Armageddon. And I warn you, our text is kind of ghastly here, as it is a lot of apocalyptic imagery here in Revelation chapter 19. Verses 11 through 21, as the Apostle John describes his vision. He says, "Then I saw heaven open up, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. It is with justice that he judges and fights his battles. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and he wore many crowns on his head, and he had a name written on him, but no one except himself knows what it is. And the robe he wore was covered with blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven followed him, riding on white horses and dressed in clean white linen. And out of his mouth came the double-edged sword with which he will defeat the nations. He will rule over them with a rod of iron, and he will trample out the wine of the winepress of the furious anger of the Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh was written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing on the sun. He shouted in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come and gather together for God's great feast. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and soldiers, the flesh of horses and their riders, the flesh of all people, slave and free, great and small." And then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to fight against the one who was riding the horse and against his army. The beast was taken prisoner, together with the false prophet who had performed miracles in his presence. It was by those miracles that he had deceived those who had the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped the image of the beast. The beast and the false prophet were both thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Their armies were killed with the sword that comes out of the mouth of the one who was riding the horse, and all the birds ate all they could of their flesh. Pretty ghastly stuff, isn't it? But it is in the Bible. So we do need to understand, what is this business called the apocalypse? May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as many of your children endure difficulties, strife, and the destruction caused by wars, and even as many may also contemplate the end times, may it be with confidence that we believe your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will indeed be the one who descends from the heavens on the white horse of victory, and the final victory will be won over evil, sin, death, forevermore. For as 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 reminds us, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen." This morning's reading describing Armageddon in Revelation 19 describes the end of Christ's second coming. Christ will descend from the heavens on a white horse of victory. And along with the heavenly forces, will be victorious over all evil. The descriptive symbology in our text this morning does seem ghastly, if not outright frightening. Yet, we as people of faith, we remember that believers will not be present for these events. For we are reminded that believers will be with Christ. From our first message concerning the repentant criminal on the cross beside Jesus, all the way to the rapture described two Sundays ago as the beginning of Christ's second coming, we've always understood that throughout this afterlife series that Christian believers are assured that their spirits will be with Christ. And that should give us one incredible measure of what? Assurance and hope. You know, if you think that being with the most beloved person in your life brings you a lot of assurance and comfort, just imagine multiplying that by 1,000. You know, if that person in your life was a grandparent when you were younger, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a dear friend, maybe it's a mentor, you may know how comforting that relationship can be, but just imagine the comfort that is yours in Jesus Christ. As the rapture begins, Christ's second coming, as we've already described, Christ will gather up all his believers, both the living and the dead, in the clouds. And there they will be judged before the judgment seat of Christ, just as we described last week. It is not a matter of salvation, but rather for the value of their works, and they are rewarded accordingly. Then, as is speculated by many from the prophetic works of Daniel and Revelation, It is believed that the second coming of Christ will conclude with this event called Armageddon. Some speculate that a character known as the Antichrist or the Beast will come into power, and it'll begin a seven-year period described as the tribulation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist will launch a final battle. Christ, however, will return in the Battle of Armageddon to destroy the Antichrist and his armies and cast them into the lake of fire. Then there will be a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, known as the millennium. It will begin with Satan being bound and thrown into the abyss. And as Christ reigns on earth, it'll be a final opportunity for non-believers alive at the time to believe in Christ and thus be saved. At the end of the millennium, Satan will be released, defeated again, and then cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, as described in Revelation chapter 20. Christ will then judge all unbelievers at what is called the great white throne of judgment, described in Revelation 20. And then unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire. And finally, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, if you will be established as the eternal dwelling place for all believers. Yet this morning, we focus on this notion called Armageddon. Many believe that the prophetic book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, the oldest surviving apostle of Christ, while he was a prisoner on the island of Patmos. By this time, Christianity was no longer considered a sect of Judaism, and thus was no longer under the protective umbrella granted by the Roman government to the Jewish faith. Christians were being unmercifully persecuted and were genuinely in need of hope. John's prophecies of the vision of victory in Christ provided this hope for believers then and even for believers today. The word Armageddon appears only once in Revelation 16, verse 16. It is pronounced in Hebrew, Har Megiddo. Har is a mount or a high place, while Megiddo is a fortification made by King Ahab in the northern part of Israel. Some speculate that this location, which has been a critical crossroads in which many battles have been fought throughout history, may be a location of a final end of times battle between Christ and Satan. We remember that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he rode on what? A donkey, right? The donkey was a symbol of peace. But here, as Armageddon unfolds in Revelation 19, we see in verse 11 that Christ is riding on what? A white horse. John the Apostle understood that when a Roman general rode into a conquered city on a white horse, he was claiming absolute victory. He was celebrating a triumph over his enemy. Christ rides triumphantly on a white horse to reveal his triumph over sin and evil forces forevermore. Our text from Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 also tells us that the rider is faithful and true, meaning that Christ is the one who can be absolutely trusted and is indeed genuine. Verse 12 tells us that his eyes were like a flame of fire, meaning the Apostle John was captivated by the compelling magnetism, warmth, and love of Christ. It's kind of like, you know, when you're sitting in front of a fire, you just can't help but focus on the wafting flames before you, right? There's just something captivating about that. Here, John is saying there's just something captivating about experience the very presence of Christ there. His eyes are like this wafting flame, if you will. The same verse 12 says that Christ wore many crowns. In John's time period, it meant that a king was a monarch over many kingdoms. And here it is symbolic of Christ being Lord over all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 13 tells us that his robe was covered in blood. But this blood was not the blood of Christ crucified. Instead, in John's understanding of God's day of vengeance, as it is described in Isaiah 63, here this splattered blood is the blood of Christ's slain enemies. The last portion of verse 13 tells us that his name is the Word of God. These are the same words used in the first portion of the Gospel of John and point to the divinity of Christ as God's living Word, present in the beginning of time, present in the here and now, and present for all eternity. The sword from the mouth of Christ is his authority and judgment, and as the 16th verse declares, the phrase written on his thigh that would make it eyesight visible to those who would see a rider approaching on a horse, the name given is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in the remaining verse of our text for this morning's from Revelation 19 that described this ghastly scene of birds of prey devouring the corpses of the defeated is straight out of the Old Testament prophecy from the book of Ezekiel chapter 39 that would have been familiar to the Apostle John. The imagery is to attest to the truth that God's victory in Christ will indeed be complete. Through all this and further imagery, what is clear is that Christ, at the end of the second coming, arrives to claim the ultimate victory that God always intended since the beginning of humanity's rebellion. We can go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, and we remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, in the New International Version, it states that, in fact, the head of the serpent, or indeed Satan, the head is indeed what? Crushed. And what I hope that you and I have learned from today's message is simply this. We may not truly understand all the details about what it will be like during Christ's second coming, but of this we can be reassured. First of all, as believers, we will be with Christ. Praise God. And so, you know, a lot of these details are kind of inconsequential, right? That's the real truth. And second, Christ will be victorious. Satan and all evil forces will indeed be defeated. And my, you know, when I think of all the suffering that millions upon millions of people undergo day after day, year after year, century after century, what hope is there but to believe that evil will not prevail? Christ, in his great glory, will prevail for all eternity. That's why the verse outside is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, the Apostle Paul writes, "Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you believe it? I hope you do. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, today is that day. I know you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 215, "Come Ye Thankful, Raise the Strain." We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Come ye faithful, raise the strain of
of triumphant gladness, God hath brought forth Israel into joy from sadness. Loosed from Pharaoh's bitter yoke, Jacob's sons and daughters led them with unmoistened foot through the Red Sea waters. Now the brightest season dawns with the day of splendor. Now the royal feast of feasts comes its joy to render, comes to glad Jerusalem, who with true affection welcomes in unwearied strains Jesus resurrected.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder to our elders, deacons, junior deacons, we do have the October board meeting immediately after the service in the upper room classroom. We do have a business we need to vote on, the 24 budget, as well as our 2024 to 26 nominations for elders, deacons, and junior deacons. So it would certainly be good for us to take care of that business so we can have a congregational meeting soon and avoid having to have meetings in the midst of the holidays. May we pray. Lord God, your Spirit empowers us to know that indeed all things are truly victorious in Christ. We rest in this hope as we journey forward with a new week and indeed experience the fullness of your Spirit's presence among us. For this great peace and joy we give thanks in Christ's name as we depart. Amen.
Of God, so shall I never.